Learning be a schus lili nishmas magan harav aron yudaleib ben ribneach tzvi steinman zichrono levracha. We now begin meseches dmai. Meseches dmai deals with the topic of the produce of ignorant people amaratzim, which the sages led by Yochanan Kohen Gadol legislated should be treated as if maasros were not separated from them. Let's first introduce a couple of points. Whenever a person has grain that grows in Eretz Yisrael, the farmer's grain is tevel. When it first grows and it's finished and it's fully made, it is prohibited to anyone to eat. No one's allowed to eat it. The Torah says, "V'lo yichalelu es kodshei b'nei Yisrael es asher yarimu la'Hashem." That's a reference to before that which is supposed to be lifted from it is lifted from it. It is tevel. Anyone who eats it would be chayiv misa bidei shamayim, deserving death at the hands of heaven. Hashem has commanded that when there is fully finished produce, we have to first separate truma to the kohen, midoraisa, that could even be just a single kernel for an entire pile. But the sages instituted that the median amount should be 2% from the word truma, tremi mea, 2 out of 100. And if someone's very generous, it would be 2.5%, 1 out of 40. And if one's stingy, 1 out of 60, 1 out of the 60th. 1/60th, 1 out of 60. After you separate Truma Gedola, which is normally 2%, then another 10% is given to the Levi. That's called Maaser Rishon. Of that which is given to the Levi, of the Maaser Rishon, which anyone can eat once it's fixed, it has to be fixed, and the Leviim have to give from it 10% of it. That's called Trumas Maaser, which is given to the Kohanim. After the 10% was given to the Levi, another 10% is separated. That's called Maaser Sheni. That has to be brought to Yerushalayim, eaten in Yerushalayim in a state of purity, or it can be redeemed, it can be put onto money. The money brought to Yerushalayim and in Yerushalayim spent on food, and the food eaten in Yerushalayim in a state of purity. This is true in years 1 and 2 and years 4 and 5 of the 7 years of Shemitah. But in years 3 and 6, instead of that second 10% being Maaser Sheni, the second 10% is separated and given to the poor as Maaser Ani. Maaser Ani also can be eaten even by people who aren't poor, if the poor are willing to share it with them. There were Amei Haaretz, unfortunately, who were lenient, and they didn't want to spend so much money by giving away Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni, or Maaser Ani, and instead they would give Truma Gedola, but they would not give the Maasro, so their produce was still Tevel. It was only a minority. The great majority did give the amounts. So the sages said that when you get from an Ama Aretz produce, it is demai. Demai, what is this? It's a suffix. It's a doubt. Maybe the maestros were given, which is what the majority did, or maybe it's from the minority where the maestros were not given. And therefore, you who buy the demai have an obligation, Midra Banan, instituted again by Yochanan Kohen Gadol, as the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sota Daf Memches, that you have to separate Maaser Rishon. Out of the Maaser Rishon, give 10% of it to the Kohanim as Trumas Maaser. You have to separate Maaser Sheni. In years 3 and in year 6, you separate Maaser Ani. Now, in terms of actually delivering the Maaser Rishon to the Leviim, or for that matter, to give the Maaser Ani to the poor, you don't actually need to give it to them, because we have a rule, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. When I want to take money from you, I need to prove that I'm entitled to the money. I don't get money based on a possible claim. I only have to have, only with a certain claim can I get money. And here, the Leviim may not be entitled to this produce, because maybe they already got Maaser Rishon from the Amei Haaretz. The poor may not be entitled to the produce, because maybe they got the Maaser Ani from Amei Haaretz. Remember, most Amei Haaretz did give the Maasros. But in terms of the Trumas Maaser and in terms of the Maaser Sheni, the Trumas Maaser has to be given to the Kohen. The Maaser Sheni has to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten there. So this is the concept of Demai. That's the theme of our chapter. And we begin with leniencies within Dmai. Says the first Mishnah, HaKalan Shebedmai. There are all sorts of items that if you get them from an Am Haaretz, you do not need to separate from them Trumas Meiser and Meiser Sheni and Maaser Rishon or Meiser Ani and then eat the Maaser Rishon or Meiser Ani. You don't need to do any of that because you can assume that it is totally permissible. Why? These are items that are usually made ownerless. Ownerless items are exempt from all the gifts of Chumos and Maisros. There, the Torah says, Uva levi ke'en lo chelek v'nachla imach. But here, he has a chelek v'nachla. He has a portion in these things. It's hefker, it was ownerless. So since these are things that are usually hefker, you can assume you can take it. For two reasons. Number one, maybe it was Hefker. Even if it wasn't Hefker, well, maybe it's from the Amei Haaretz who do separate the correct tithes, and it's not from those Amei Haaretz who do not separate the tithes. So therefore, HaKalan Shebedmai, the things that we are lenient about in regards to Dmai, you don't need to separate the tithes again, are the following food items. HaShitin. Shitin is apparently a wild fig. These are figs that the Kahati explains actually start to grow before, these are desert figs, and they actually start to grow before the leaves. These are the first figs that appear underneath the leaves. These are called the shitin. Then we have the rimin. Rimin are the fruit of the lotus. Then we have uzridin. Uzridin are crab apples. Ubnos shuach are another type of wild fig, white figs. Uvnot shikma are the fruit of the sycamore. Vinovlos hatmara and the dates that don't even ripen fully but fall off when they're not ripe. And then they just are left out in the sun to ripen on their own off of the tree. Hagufnin, gufnin is a type of vine that's dropping grapes, and because it drops the grapes again, it's left for the hefker. Vahanitzpa, and the capers that come from the tzlaf, thorn bush. Ubihuda, and in Judea, Ha'og. Og, we learned back in Masechet Peah, is the sumac tree. It has a fruit that's reddish. That also is left ownerless. V'hachomet shebihuda, the vinegar of Judea. Normally, vinegar is made of wine, but in Judea, the wine was very good. So they didn't use the wine for vinegar. Rather, they used to make a mixture of grape seeds and water and then allow that to spoil into vinegar. So that also is something which is not prominent. Vehakuzbar and the coriander. So all these items are not prominent. Therefore, they are often hefker. And therefore, when you buy them from an Am Haaretz, you do not need to retithe them. Number one, maybe the Am Haaretz tithed. Number two, maybe it came from Hefker. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Buda says, Kol HaShitin Pturin, all of the wild figs from the desert that grow underneath the leaves, the first figs, are in fact exempt from the laws of Dmai Chutz Mishel Dufra, except for the fig tree that produces figs twice a year, the Dufra tree. And it's really an amazing tree. It produces a large amount, and also its figs are very good, and therefore they're prominent. And because they're prominent and very good, they are not normally hefker, and therefore there is the law of Dmai with them. Kol harimin pturin, all the rimin that we mentioned earlier, those are the fruit of the lotus. They are exempt from Dmai, chutz mi rime shikmona, except for the fruit of the lotus from this place called Shikmona, which apparently were prominent. Kol b'no shikma pturin, all the fruit of the sycamore are exempt from Dmai, chutz min ha-mustafos, except for the those that sit on the sycamore tree a great deal until they actually crack open, and apparently they are prominent, and since they are prominent, they are not normally made hefker. If they're not normally made hefker, you have to assume that the Amar, it's selling it to you, just owned it, it was regular Dmai. And as regular Dmai, we do not trust that the Amaratzim separated the Maaser Rishon and the Maaser Sheni. Now, in the second Mishnah, we're going to learn that while the sages, led by Yochanan Kohen Gadol, instituted that when you buy produce from an Am Haaretz, you have to re-tithe, you have to again give Maaser Rishon, give Trumas Maaser, separate and actually bring up to Yerushalayim Maaser Sheni again. But this Maaser Sheni is a Suffolk Maaser Sheni, it's a doubtful Maaser Sheni, it doesn't have all the laws that biblical Maaser Sheni has. And therefore, Hadmai in Mochomesh, when it's the Maaser Sheni of Demai and you are redeeming it, you, the owner, do not need to add another fifth. Whereas when you redeem regular Maaser Sheni, you need to add a fifth. Ve'in lo biur, in year four, and in year seven of the Shemitah cycle, there is a mitzvah on Erev Pesach of year four and on Erev Pesach of year seven of Biur Maisros, which requires a person to declare that he has fulfilled all the tithes that he's supposed to fulfill. And if he has any Maaser Sheni, he has to destroy it. Well, that doesn't apply to the Maaser Sheni of Demai. Another law that applies to Maaser Sheni is that if a person loses an immediate relative, one of the seven close relatives, so that day he's an Onin, the day that relative died, he's an Onin. But an Onin is not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, but he's allowed to eat the Maaser Sheni of Demai, V'neach ala Onin. Another law is that even Tevel that comes into Yerushalayim, once it's in the walls, then there is a law that you're no longer allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim and redeem it, but that's not true with Demai. V'nichnas liYerushalayim v'yotzei, Demai that comes into Yerushalayim can be taken out and be redeemed outside. Another law, uma'abdin es miyuto badrachim. If a person has Maaser Sheni that he's bringing to Yerushalayim, he can't lose any of it. That's not true with Demai. In Demai, if you have a tiny amount, less than a grogeres, less than a fig, you can, that's all that's left of your Demai. You're trying to bring it up to Yerushalayim, you can lose it along the way. V'nos no la'am ma'aretz v'yochal kenegdo. Another thing you can do when it comes to Demai, you can give the Maaser Sheni of Demai to an Am Haaretz and say, okay, you go to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Now, even though really you have to worry that maybe the Am Haaretz is not going to be pure and maybe Maaser Sheni, in quotation marks, is going to be eaten in a state of lack of purity. So you can still give it to an Am Haaretz. Again, this is a leniency. V'yochal kenegdo, but you should take that amount and separate for yourself, set it aside and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it in a state of purity. Another law in regards to the Maaser Sheni of Demai, umachalin oso kesef al kesef. If you have money that you put onto that money, the holiness of the Maaser Sheni of the Demai, and you need those coins, you can take the holiness off of those coins and put it onto other coins. Nechoshes al nechoshes. You can take copper coins that have the holiness of Maaser Sheni of Demai, take it out of the copper coins and put it onto other copper coins. And kesef al nechoshes. You can even take the holiness out of silver coins and put it into copper coins. Nechoshes al aperos. And you could even then take the holiness off of the copper coins and put it onto fruits. And ubilvachi alzo yivdes aperos. And you can even then take the holiness out of those fruits and put them onto other coins, if that was your intent. If at the time that you put the holiness onto the fruits, you intended that you would also take the holiness off of the fruits and put it back onto coins, you can do so with Maaser Sheni of Demai. If, however, when you took the holiness off of the copper, you put it into the fruits with the intent, you're going to bring the fruits to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to then take the holiness out of those fruits. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the view of Rabbi Meir, who is very lenient in regards to the Maaser Sheni of Demai. However, Chacham say that even when it's Maaser Sheni of Demai, if you've taken the holiness out of coins onto fruits, Ye'alu aperos v'yachlu b'yushalayim, even when you had the intent to be able to then take the holiness off of the fruits, you can't do that. The fruits have to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim in a state of purity. The third Mishnah of the first parak here of Masechta Demai teaches that since Demai was a rabbinic enactment, they only created the law of separating Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni from the Demai with someone who buys produce from an Am Aretz for the sake of eating or drinking or ointment of oil, because ointment sicha is the equivalent of drinking. But if he's buying for some other purpose, then the sages did not create an obligation to separate masros of demai. Halokeach, somebody who buys grain from an amaretz, not to eat it, but lazera, just to plant it. Or he buys grain from an amaretz labehema, to feed it to animals. Or he buys kemach, he buys flyer from an amaretz laoros, to push it into leather and make the leather better. Or shemen laner, he buys oil from an amaretz in order to light it. Shemen lasach boas akelim, he buys oil in order to oil up utensils to save them from rust. Pater min admai, in all of these instances, he's exempt from separating the maaser sheni of demai, because even were he to buy tevel for these purposes, midoraisa, it's not obligated in maestros, it's only obligated in maestros midorabanan. So in demai, they never created this obligation. Another law, mikzivul halan, if a person buys fruit or grain from the place Kziv and further. Kziv was the edge of where, in the Second Temple, they sanctified it with the land of Israel. After Kziv was never sanctified by the people of the Second Temple, by Ezra, it was only sanctified by those who came for the First Temple, by Olim Mitzrayim, Part Min Admai, it is exempt from Demai. Kziv is north of Akko. From there and on, including Kziv, it doesn't have the sanctity of the land of Israel for the Olei Bavel, for those who came up at the time of the Second Temple. They didn't settle there. So therefore, it is exempt from Demai. Chalas Am Ha'aretz, chala, that an Am Ha'aretz had separated from his dough to give to a Kohen. Commentators here explain that we're talking about a Talmud Chacham had prepared it in a state of purity, and otherwise you would never have a situation of anybody buying it, because no Talmud Chacham would buy stuff that an Am Haaretz actually prepared, because it would be Tameh. So we're talking about an Am Haaretz who hired a Talmud Chacham to knead the flour in the water and to make it into a dough and then to separate challah. So therefore, if an Am Haaretz, if a Kohen gets from this Am Haaretz the challah that had belonged to the Am Haaretz, he does not need to separate Demai's separations from it. V'ameduma. Let's say an Am Haaretz has truma that he mixes up with chulin, and the mixture is less than 100 times more chulin than the truma, so it's now a safek, it's not batel. He needs to sell the whole mixture to a kohen. So if he sells it to a kohen, v'halakuach, bekesef maaser sheni, and demai that had been purchased with money of maaser sheni, ushiari amenachos, or an Am Haaretz who brings an offering of flour to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen takes the fistful, and the leftovers are supposed to go to the other Kohanim. In all of these situations, Ptur Min HaDmai, there is no obligation of again separating tithes because it's Dmai, because we assume that since it's such a holy item, it's challah, it has truma in it, it is a karban, Amaratzim here would be careful, and they would only give to Hekdesh that which is 100%, and therefore they were ma'aser, whatever had to be given. Now, shemen arev, when you have oil, olive oil mixed in with all sorts of spices of demai, beishamay machayven, beishamay say, it also needs to, if you get that, since the spices are there, you'd have to separate the tithes for demai. Basil say, no, it's exempt, because since it's only a mixture with some demai mixed in, there is no obligation of separating from it. Because as we've seen with Meduma And in general, demai is a rabbinic stringency. And since it's a rabbinic stringency, the rabbis were lenient in all sorts of scenarios. One of the scenarios that, according to Beis Hillel, they're lenient about is when there's a mixture of some demai in with non-demai. Then already you don't have to treat the demai as demai, and the whole thing is permitted. Again, most amaratzim did separate the tithes. The fourth Mishnah. Hadmai ma'arvin bo. Demai can be used for all sorts of uses. Let's say you buy demai from an amaretz. Even without separating the tithes from it, you can use it to create a ruvei tchumin, to put down food for two meals, to be able to extend the amount of space you can walk in on Shabbos. You can do it for that. Umishtatzin bo, you can use it to create a sheet of mavuos, to put food into a chatzer, to enable everybody in this mavoi, all the different chatzeros, all the different courtyards, to carry back and forth from courtyard to courtyard. And when you eat demai, by mistake, you weren't allowed to, but let's say you ate the demai, after you eat it, mevarchen alav, you say berkas hamazon, umezamnen alav, and even though it was an avera to eat it, you can create a zimun if you ate it and you were filled with it. Because after all, as we're going to learn in the next chapter, in chapter 3, a person who makes himself poor is allowed to eat demai. Demai is a rabbinic stringency. If somebody is poor, they never made it prohibited to him. So since you could make yourself poor by making all your objects hefker, therefore the demai is worthy food. And after you eat it, you have to recite Berkas HaMazon. Demai is only a suffix that you have to give from it your tithes. And therefore, mafrichin oso arum. You don't need to recite a blessing. And you could separate those tithes when you are undressed, because you don't need to say a blessing. And you could separate the tithes, bein hashmashos, after sunset, before the stars come out, on a Friday evening. You can't separate tithes that are definite obligations for demai. You could. Vayim hikdin maiser sheni l'rishon. And another law about demai, since it's only a doubt, if you gave Maaser Sheni before you gave the Maaser Rishon from the demai, in Bekach Klum, that's fine. And come year 4 and year 7, on Erev Pesach, you could declare that you did all of your agricultural obligations as you were supposed to. However, in Maaser Vadai, when there's a definite obligation of Maaser, if you gave Maaser Sheni before Maaser Rishon, you couldn't say, Asisi kachol mitzvasecha asher tzivisani. Shemen shagar yisach be'etzbosav, oil of an amaretz that a weaver is going to put between his fingers to as an ointment, chayev b'dmai, he has to give the tithes from it as d'mai because it's sicha, and sicha is kishti, as we saw earlier. However, v'sha'asorik nosin batzemer, but oil that's purchased from an amaretz of d'mai, that the comber of the wool is going to put it into the wool in order to make it easier to comb the wool, that's patmin admai, that's exempt from giving the maestros, because since it's going to be used to just comb out wool, that's like an oil that's there for to work on a utensil, to smear on a utensil, and that which is there to smear on a utensil doesn't have the obligations of separating the tithes again, because the rabbis did not create an obligation on that.